For incredibly long periods of human history, very little in the way of substantive change took place in the course of a lifetime. Over the course of multiple generations, things stayed pretty much the same by our standards of today. For most of human history, you'd likely have lived a very similar life materially, culturally, to the one lived by your great, 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 great grandparents. Now, the same thing can't be said for those of us born in the last 200 years across much of the industrialized world. As a result of the astonishing rate of change that we've grown accustomed to today, you'd think we would be a society full of optimistic dreamers and schemers, a society driven on by the belief that anything truly is possible, any problem solvable. And yet it's perhaps because we live in a time of such great and rapid change that we seem to find it so hard to conceptualize an ideal future. Perhaps because the present seems so unstable, imagining a brighter, better future seems peculiarly tricky. Even talk these days of a brighter, better future can ring hollow, can feel somewhat utopian, and so pointless. Now, before utopia became a word in our lexicon, it was the title of a book written back in the 1500s, written in a Europe torn apart by the violence of war and the relentless struggle for survival. Danger, violence, poverty, fear, death, these were both a constant threat and a daily reality. The story of the land of utopia was written in response to this dark time. It's a satire, an idealized vision of what the world could be. Egalitarian, communal, a free society where we share things, tolerant, with sustained peace, all brought about through ideal social changes which are as unimaginable today as many of them were then. In our own time, I find it fascinating that our technological and scientific imagination is very much alive. Our market-driven imagination for new goods to buy and sell, new ways to make a profit, that's on fire. But as a culture, our utopian imagination seems to have stalled. Rather than explore utopian possibilities, the Western world has instead cultivated an amazing ability to conceive of the worst of all possible outcomes and turn that into a mainstay of our entertainment, our opinion pieces, our political rhetoric. Dystopian depictions are everywhere. And so this presents us as Christians of this time and in this context with something of a dilemma. Take seriously Jesus' teachings about the kingdom, both already here and yet to come, or dismiss talk of the kingdom as somewhat utopian, fantastical, idealized, clearly unrealistic. Or we could reduce the kingdom to be purely otherworldly or spiritual, talk about the kingdom as a dream that's reserved just for the afterlife. The kingdom of heaven. Bit of a distraction from the real world, the real work of societal change. To be clear, I'm not making the claim that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and the utopian vision are one and the same. But I am curious to explore the ways in which we might reignite our imagination for the possible, truly believe that the world's transformation is not only possible, but is assured by God. And so have us rightly invest in a future in which we fully participate in that life-bringing, justice and freedom-offering transformation, in which we take greater care of one another, of ourselves, and of this planet. As followers of Jesus, surely our hope is in the truth of the kingdom. When I was a teenager, I was a bit of a student activist. I was motivated by all kinds of causes. I wrote letters to my members of parliament, showed up at marches, gave talks at school. I really believed then that my actions could make a difference, that we together could change the world. And yet more times than I can count, the adults in my life would roll their eyes, making comments about my naivety. They assured me that soon I would lose all my idealistic tendencies as soon as I was out in the real world. And they were right. Over time, the pressure of life and the stories that were told and retold around me slowly convinced me that my efforts were pointless. And like so many around me, I lost faith, buried it somewhere, forgot all about it. The real world got flattened, limited just to the material reality I saw around me. It was no longer shot through with wonder and possibility. My imagination clipped. My cynicism ran amok. It became impossible for me to see how anything or anyone could bring about substantive positive change. I did find my faith again, which might be kind of obvious. But it makes me realize that it takes robust imagination to make meaning of Jesus' parables, just as it takes robust imagination to believe that another kind of reality is possible. In a time when dystopian storytelling on TV and movies, on our news feeds, seems to be having something of a moment, it takes the suspension of our disbelief to make meaning from Jesus' teachings about the kingdom of heaven. We really do need to re-engage with ideals. Ideals as creative, real-world possibilities that are set free by our faith-fueled, confident imagination. We certainly do have the imaginative capacity to conceive of a more just and loving world. We might not have all the details of what this world might actually look like. But Jesus tells us what it's like. We might not have a full and complete understanding of the kingdom reality, or precisely how we're going to get there. But Jesus tells us what it's like. We have enough to be getting on with. Jesus teaches us enough to commit to the transformation of our own lives and of the world. And it is undoubtedly up to us in our own time and in our own context to trust, to have faith, and to follow where Jesus is leading us, especially when it seems particularly impractical or unrealistic, utopian even. At the very beginning of his ministry in Matthew's gospel, Jesus declares, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." Are we taking this seriously? Incorporating the kingdom into our understanding of the real world and allowing our commitment to it to transform life as we know it. Our encultured, conditioned minds might struggle to see beyond the stories that surround us, stories that make the dystopian seem strangely rational, even reasonable. But our Christian imagination can open us up to the true fullness of life, to the possibility, if only we let it, encourage it, practice. Practice seeing the possibility of life as it could be, transformed. Mind-blowing transformation is present all around us right now if we'd only just pay attention. It's showing us what's possible if we only would take what it teaches us seriously. It's present in the tiniest of seeds that become the largest of trees. It's present in the communities of microorganisms that can change the chemistry of a vast environment. Stumbling upon the hidden treasure of the transforming power of our own imagination, that is a windfall that truly changes everything. Life after that discovery is never the same. It can't be. And this, Jesus tells us, all of this is what the kingdom is like.